Welcome to this week's edition of Mountain Outhouse. I'm your host, Jam Jam. This is the craziest to happen running this week. This week's stories include Etra's response to the UTMB points boycotters, a Holy Nolan's finisher, and the US ladies win gold at the World 24 Hour. It's Miller time. Well, we at least have some Zach Miller news time. It's official. According to I Run Far, Zach Miller removed himself from the Hard Rock 100 entrance list and is now officially focusing on the Ultra Trail du Mont Blanc this September. He'll rejoin his pal, Tim Tollefson in Chamonix, who earlier this year also removed himself from high up on the Hard Rock waitlist. Tim reacted positively to this news, adding that all the three amigos, including David Laney, will be returning to UTMB. Speaking of the Hard Rock UTMB qualifier controversy, there's now an official response from the International Trail Running Association, or ITRA, about the 9 US race organizer letter accusing UTMB and ITRA of a for-profit, pay-for-points racket scheme. The letter provides some additional context left out of the initial letter, including responses to some inaccurate claims by the 9 organizers, including calling ITRA a for-profit entity owned entirely by the Paletti's, who are also the race organizers of UTMB. Also of interest is the fact that the 2015 and 2016 Hard Rock 100s were actually UTMB qualifiers, so Killian is actually qualified from his 2016 finish for this year's UTMB. Kind of strange the issue was even brought up in the letter, since Hard Rock is on that list. Jam Jam's take? UTMB is a race that had a problem. Their immense popularity necessitated a way to qualify runners for their annual lottery for limited entry spots. In an attempt to provide a fair measure of difficulty of races, and also have a wide variety of races globally to qualify, not just hand-selected by the organizers, they facilitated through the International Trail Running Association a standardized set of measures based upon analyzing GPS files of the length, climbing, and difficulty of races. Based upon this analysis, a point value was assigned for each race. This standardized set of qualifiers can then be used not just by UTMB, but any ultra or trail race in the world, which will require a set number of points for entry. Ultra Trail Mount Fuji also uses ITRA points, and I'm sure others that I don't even know about do as well. We could very well see races in the US adopting this qualifying system in the future, as a lot of the legwork has been done by someone already, providing global value that far exceeds the cost of an annual ITRA membership fee. ITRA also does more than just certify races for difficulty, which, by the way, does take manpower to analyze and assign these points. ITRA is an international association of runners and race organizers who do develop programs and measures by its members to improve the sport on a global scale. The organization is still in its infancy, but we are seeing the emergence of some anti-doping measures, world championship support, and world rankings of top athletes. No, ITRA isn't perfect, but maybe those of us in the US should actually join ITRA, become active members, and make our voices heard in a constructive yet positive way. We could push for changes and help to have an equal voice with those in Europe, South America, Asia, and Africa who currently outnumber our delegates by 5 or 6-fold. He did it, folks. The first finisher of the Holy Nolan's route is 14er addict Andrew Hamilton. He completed the entire route of all 15 Sawatch Range 14,000 foot peaks in under 72 hours and also set the Nolan's FKT en route in 53 hours, 42 minutes. Andrew, if you're out there listening, there's only one place for you to go next, and that's the lovely hills of Frozen Head State Park in Tennessee and the Barkley Marathons. Looking forward to seeing you toe the yellow gate next April. P.S. If you need any info on applying, hit me up, bro. This week in Clean Sport, it appears Outside Magazine is welcoming doper Lance Armstrong with open arms this Tour de France season by hosting his take on this year's tour each day with commentary via a daily podcast.
This is what July 5th looks like. The day after July 4th.
Entitled Stages. So, if you want to hear from Dope, tune in. We have a return of our Northwest correspondent, Maya Ray Ray, this week. Break it down, girl.
Thanks, Jam Jam. It's been about 10 days and I'm still on a Western States high. What an amazing weekend. Jam Jam, you did a States Miss rap and you didn't include the Jizz or myself. I mean, YouTube's killed it, but come on, bro. AJ jumps myself, but runs like every single day from here to the bay. Check out my boy filming, acting like it's a breeze. You call him Skizzle Fresh, and I call him the Freeze. Black King's Thunder K is right around the corner. I'll be there, run the course, it's your RMC reporter.
Have yourself a merry little statement of intensity.
So many great things happen at States. How about this? Gordy, you're a stud. People have said it before, and I'll say it again. We have the best community ever. Lord Balls, keep up the great work. Save me a spot in 2023. It's now time for this week's Let's Check In with an Ultra Runner. Representing the Northwest and running for Seven Hills, running in Seattle, I watched her smash the course at Gorge 100K, earning her golden ticket. A few weeks ago at States, she killed it. I present to you next year's F4. Caitlin, what you up to?
Hey everyone, this is Caitlin Gerben. I'm here back in Seattle the week after Western States. This is my second run out and went for my first one yesterday, but the weather is much nicer today. It's like 75 degrees and sunny. I'm on top of McClellan Butte, which has awesome views, especially of Mount Rainier, which is behind me. Yeah, I was super excited to be able to go and race Western States this year. It's a race I've, you know, really been interested in running for a long time, and it was really fun to get down there and understand kind of what everything's about. I had a lot of fun with my crew and pacers, and it was great to be out on the trails and meeting a lot of people. I'm really excited I get to go back next year. So hope you guys are all having fun. Good checking in. See you later.
Thanks, Caitlin. That's a rising star right there. So proud of her. Well, everyone, have a super week.
Have yourself a merry little statement of intensity.
Can't believe we're back in squad. Tough to sit through all hoopla. Don't forget the true fighters. Push. Dang, nice bars, Maya. Now, when is the music video dropping? You know that perception we get of each other on social media? Yeah, well, it ain't always what it seems. I mean, sure, sometimes it is. I legit think Claire Gallagher probably only eats frosting, Sour Patch Kids, and Sriracha cereal. And I also don't doubt that Chris Mocco only shops at Costco. But folks, we've been duped. After believing for months that Amelia Boone ate a box of Pop-Tarts a day, come to find out it's mostly just a race day treat for the obstacle racer ultra runner from the Bay Area. I'm equally disappointed and happy for you, Amelia. Can't imagine the long-term health benefits of daily Pop-Tarting. Elko Van Herp, an outhouse viewer, remarked on Twitter regarding an apparent discussion about elite versus everyone else's required gear kits at European races. The photo in question shows Killian running the Mont Blanc Marathon next to Stian Ingermund-Vik. Stian had a Salomon Sense Ultra Vest loaded down with quite a bit of gear, while at first glance it appears Killian has absolutely nothing with him. On the list of required items, a cell phone, 500 milliliter water container, Gore-Tex type vest or jacket, whistle, emergency blanket, and cup. Upon closer inspection, Killian was wearing a small waist belt with what I assume are all required gear items. Max King also chimed in that he was wearing a very minimal waist belt, and he did concur that he himself carried all required items, although it may not appear so at first glance. Ricky Gates is now on his second to last state on his transcontinental experience, making his way across the desolate Nevada landscape. I was able to catch up with him on my drive from Auburn to Silverton and help repair his broken umbrella. What a time. If you want to meet up with Ricky, he welcomes visitors. Lately, he's had visits not only from myself, but Brian and Megan of IronFar.com and Dylan Bowman. He plans to finish his run August 1st in San Francisco after running a section of the Tahoe Rim Trail and the entire Western States 100 course in one shot and under 24 hours. Godspeed, Ricky. We'll wrap up this week's show with a report from the World 24-Hour Championships. The USA ladies are seriously ridiculously badass. They edged out their Polish competition by a meager 0.622 kilometers, despite Poland taking first and second place overall. The U.S. had three ladies over the 150-mile mark, including Katalin Nagy, Gina Slaby, and Pam Smith. Smith is the first American woman over 40 years of age to break the 150 barrier. Hell yeah, ladies. The USA men only ran a combined 15 kilometers more than the USA ladies' top three, which was good enough to place them third overall as a team. Olivier LeBond ran 159 miles to be seventh overall and top American, while Steve Slaby was second with 157 miles and John Olsen third with 153. Hey, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. If you have crazy stories to share or want to tell us how you really feel about Lance Armstrong, tweet us at Mountain Outpost. Have a shit week. Support this show by purchasing this pair of Jam Jam's 4th of July sunglasses. As a bonus, we'll include a Mountain Outpost sticker pack and signed certificate of WTF, mate. Crash the link and smash the like button. Subscribe here and shit. Also, thanks to Turtle of Turtle Treks for this super fine jacket. That's all I got, folks.
Peace.
I broke the tip on your pencil.